Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Today I talk to Hans Zagurius, a real estate photographer and designer who has the unique distinction of being the man that is capturing the work in progress on the renovation and revitalization of the Petrie Building. There's a lot of interest in town about what's going on in the Petrie and the progress that is being made all the time underneath that big green tarp. But Hans has seen it all since work got underway. Chronicling the ever-changing Petrie is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, a couple of months ago, I was talking to Kirk Roberts of Tricathlon about coming onto the podcast to talk about the updating of the Petrie and all the challenges he and his crew encountered in the process, some of which were discussed on a behind-the-scenes tour with the media back in February, a video of which you can see right now on Guelph Politico. Unfortunately, Kirk Roberts is a very busy man, so we weren't able to get together to record an episode, but during the Doors Open Guelph event a couple of weeks ago, I got another idea. If I can't have the guy directing the renovations on the show, then why not someone else who's been there from the beginning? That was Hans Zagurius. Most of the time, Hans is taking pictures of homes for the purpose of trying to sell those homes, but his goal with the Petrie was more about historical preservation and documentation. In the floors above the old Apollo 11 restaurant, there is a century of neglect and artifacts galore, including original furnishings, wallpaper, and medicine bottles dating back to when A.B. Petrie himself was filling prescriptions there. With all the history there waiting and a lot of people wanting to see that history, a family connection brought Hans to the attention of Tricathlon, who brought in the photographer to capture the Petrie as it was, as it is now, and how it will be in the future. So on this week's Guelph Politicast, I get Hans to tell me the story of how he got involved as the official photographer of the Petrie building's renovation, the things that surprised him, the things he's discovered, how he works, and how he chooses the shots that he's chosen. Speaking of which, Hans has already displayed his work for the public at the Doors Open event at the Petrie Building, and at the end of the podcast, we'll tell you about where and how you can see Hans's work, and maybe pick something up for yourself, or a friend, or a family member. So I caught up with Hans Zagurius last week in studio. Hans Zagurius, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Adam. I'm glad to be here.
Before we dig into the Petrie Building itself, talk a little about your job. You shoot real estate. You try to put the best face on various buildings as they go on the market and people trying to sell them. So talk a little about that in terms of your photography.
Yeah. Well, I've been in photography for decades. I got into the real estate photography because, my regular job in engineering dried up, and I needed some place to go. I knew a real estate agent here in town, and I asked her if I could pick her brains, and she allowed me to do that, and she gave me a few jobs after that. So my job, as I see it, is to provide imagery to the agents on their properties that are inviting. Inviting to get people to come to the listing, to the property, to see it. I do my best to provide realistic photos, even though there's a lot of post-processing going on. I keep the photos as realistic as possible, and that's been very much appreciated. So when people look at the pictures, they know what they're going to see when they go to the property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key. You don't want to do any kind of exaggeration. You don't want to show the place as it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You want to show it as it is.
So you don't do a lot of Photoshop things?
I use Photoshop, of course. But even in the days of film, no negative was ever printed as it came out of the camera. There was always darkroom work. So Photoshop is essentially my electronic darkroom.
So the photography hasn't always been your career field. Was it more of a hobby for you? And then it's become a job for you?
It was a hobby for many years, but I did use it as some form of pocket money income.
Mm.
I was in engineering, so I had the opportunity to use that position as a draftsman to be able to provide product shots and some catalog photography and some on-site installation photography. So I always did some of that. I spent a few years doing weddings as a sideline again, but I haven't done that in many years.
Mm-hmm.
So when the opportunity to get into full-time photography came about, I felt ready for that.
Do you find it shooting buildings easier than shooting people? I mean, I just from my own hobby photography, I know I enjoy shooting like the architecture and shooting buildings and shooting landscapes more than just, you know, those sort of stage photo shoots like shooting the weddings. Having done a few weddings myself, I know that there's the pressure of making sure you get everything.
Yes.
And there's the pressure of trying to corral dozens of people to help you out in that. And I imagine that shooting buildings is much more peaceful in that regard and perhaps much easier on in terms of you're not depending on the other people to follow your lead. The buildings pretty much do what they're doing already.
Yes, that's an advantage. With weddings, of course, you only have one shot at it.
Yeah.
And I was doing that in the days of film, so I couldn't look at the back of the camera immediately to make sure the shot was right.
Right.
So, you know, those are stressful things. With listing properties, any building, any static object, you always have a chance to go back if you need to.
Mm.
There's still a pressure to get it done on time because this kind of work does require deadlines. So I still have to meet that. But it's much less stressful than working with large groups of people.
Well, let's talk about shooting the Petrie Building. How did you get involved in that? Did they seek you out?
Well, in a roundabout way, my son, Jerry Zagarius, is an associate at Tacoma Engineers, okay. A structural engineering firm, and they have been involved quite heavily in the restructuring of that building. And back in maybe late 2015, Jerry came to me and told me what he was doing there and the condition of the building and asked me if I'd be interested in going into to take some shots. And I said, yes, by all means. Like many Guelphites, I've been watching this building for many years. And it was a surprise to hear that it was being renovated, and I was happy to go in and do that. So we've worked with the owners, Turkathlon Partners, and they have allowed me pretty much free rein through the building at pretty much all times to document the process and the progress. It's been very interesting. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do this.
What did you know about the building before you first stepped foot in there, before you started talking about shooting it?
No, very little, actually. I knew that the Apollo restaurant was on the ground floor for many years. Dino's was in there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that the facade of the building was being of stamped metal, was a very rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's only three of those in Canada. I knew it was a heritage-type building, but that it had been left neglected for many, many years, especially the upper floors, the two lower floors being used, of course. But the upper floors had been abandoned and left alone for many years.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I knew about it. I knew it was named after A.B. Petrie, and I knew that he was a pharmacist, a druggist, back in the early part of this century. Oh, the last century. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the century before last century.
I think I just aged myself.
So stepping into that building the first time, or even maybe beforehand, did you like do any research in terms of where do I begin? How did you begin?
Well, we began simply by walking through the entire building and getting a feel for the layout. Getting a feel for the old usage, getting a feel for who had been in there even since it was abandoned and supposedly locked up.
Mm.
There was a lot of graffiti on the walls, people who had signed their names and their dates. And there's several stories there. So that's pretty much how we started. I took many pictures early on to document what it looked like before renovation started in earnest. So that was quite the experience, to see the past revealed and finally come to light.
You said there were a lot of stories. I guess you mean in the graffiti, because it's there. Was last time I was in there, outside A.B. Petrie's actual office, that, you know, it's written on the walls, like, and it's a lot of it's dated too. So you have the 20s, you have the 50s. In terms of what you saw, give us some background there, some examples.
Well, one notable example is the mark of the paper hanger. I think it dated 1900, very early in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And his mark consisted of a painter's palette with a couple of brushes and then his name and the date. And as I say, it was around 1905, 1908. And he put that on the plaster wall and then he papered over it. And I understand that this particular paper hanger was quite busy in Guelph during that time. And that was a very artistic kind of graffiti. I wouldn't call it graffiti, really. It was his identification mark.
Yeah, he's leaving his mark.
Yeah. There's the signature of A.B. Petrie's delivery boy from, I think, I can't remember exactly the year. It was very early while Petrie was still working. The delivery boy was apparently about 15 years old when he signed his name and dated it. And then it must have been the First World War. After the First World War, he signed it again in memory of his brother, who had died in the war somewhere in Europe. So he signed it again and dated it. And one other notable story that we found was some graffiti on the edge of an old door. And there were several entries that detailed the meeting and eventual marriage of a couple.
Mm.
And their names were on there and the dates were on there. And in fact, my son Jerry did some digging and he found the relatives of this original couple, one of whom lived in, I think, BC.
Mm.
So we contacted him and let him know that this was there. And we sent him actually a picture of the edge of the door with this particular graffiti on it. So there's a story that's a story that we were able to follow up on and actually follow the descendants.
Mm-hmm. So the couple met at the building?
No, they did. As far as I know, they didn't meet at the building.
Okay.
I don't know where they met, but somehow they got into the building. And on the edge of this old door, they wrote their names and the dates when they met and when they got engaged, when they got married. And I made sure to capture that.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I don't know what happened to the door. I know they're trying to retain some of the old woodwork, and I saw just recently I was in there, and they were repairing some of the old doors on the old Petrie office. Mm-hmm. This particular door, I don't know what happened to it.
Mm-hmm. So how often are you going in and out of there, and is it, it's interesting because preservation is obviously fairly important to Kirk and any other partners who are trying to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But is in terms of documenting it as well, you know, how are you in there, like, monthly or every other month? Or
in the beginning, we went in once a week.
Wow.
We went in once a week to make sure we captured all the stuff before it was being changed, covered over, or taken out and replaced. We wanted to make sure that we got a feeling for the atmosphere of the place before other people got into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in there quite often. It hasn't been as often lately, maybe once every 2 or 3, 4 weeks. Because of the way construction progresses, a lot of stuff happens that isn't obviously visible. So there's not much point in photographing that particular area. But I have been going in a little more frequently now, because we are also looking at, we have a display now of some photographs, but we also want to do another display, I think, when it's all finished.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to keep documenting the process as it goes along.
Mm-hmm. there was a one great one of yours in particular that I guess it was when they were tearing up the Apollo. And I don't know, this is something that it was in my own imagination, but it looked like in tearing up the Apollo and you know, stripping it down, it almost, I don't know if there was a restaurant in there before the Apollo, but it almost looked like something had been discovered, like there was a restaurant under the restaurant as it was being torn apart. And it's fascinating because, I don't know, just the quality of history, you know, especially of older buildings. So, you know, things plastered over and things painted over, and so you start taking that apart and it's a whole new world underneath. In terms of anything that surprised you when you went in there, I mean, you talked about, you didn't know much about the building, mm-hmm. but going in there, I mean, I'm sure there were some sort of expectations on your part about what you were going to discover, but in terms of things that surprised you, was there anything?
One of the surprises, I think, was in the basements. The basements, of course, weren't finished, mm-hmm. as they wouldn't be in those days.
Right.
But the condition of the supports was kind of surprising. they had old timbers in there, big round old timbers, and they were still supporting this four-story building. But it was the old style of construction which surprised me in the fact that it was still standing. I learned a little later that the building is actually built on sand,
yeah.
which is not very stable, and they had to. In order to support the building and bring it all up to code, they had to do some major support work in the basements to reach down to areas in the ground which were more stable.
I think Kirk said they've spent 70% of their time renovating in the basement.
Oh, is it that much?
Yeah. I think he said that on the tour,
yeah.
that it was 70%, which is astounding.
Yeah.
Because even the old stone furnace, the old brick furnace, was apparently sitting on sand. This thing that went up four stories that they're building the elevator right next to, sitting
yes,
on sand.
Yeah,
it's it makes you think how that building has stood the test of time.
Yeah,
especially since much of it was neglected.
Certainly, I'm not sure about the structure itself being neglected, but it would have it has deteriorated over time, and you can see some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the basement was a bit of a shock.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of a shock, almost claustrophobic when you go down there because the ceilings aren't that high either.
No, that's right.
You're almost brushing your head if you stand up straight.
Did you, or have you been able to make it into the old oddball room, the old secret society room?
In the building next door.
Okay.
No, I've never been in there.
Okay.
But I understand there's quite a bit of restoration that went on there, and they described it on the tour of the Petrie building on Doors Open Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
They described it as being next door. We saw the place where there was an passageway between the two buildings, and I think that's been all bricked up.
Mm-hmm.
The doors are still there
mm-hmm.
on the Petrie side, but behind the doors, if you open the doors, it's a brick wall.
Oh, okay.
So that had been closed off, I don't know when, years and years ago. But no, I've never been into the Oddfellow Sanctuary itself.
Oh, well.
Yeah, in the Petrie building, what they had was the... was the greeting rooms, the
right.
cloak rooms, and that kind of stuff.
That's yeah. right.
The entry into the sanctuary, as it's been called.
That's right. And there was different entrances for whatever levels you were at, because obviously, the secret society, you have to go up the levels. And
yes. And some of the entry doors that were still hanging there, they had peepholes in them.
Right.
With slidable covers. Mm. So, that was an indication of the secrecy involved there.
How many pictures would you say you've taken?
I've never counted.
Never.
I've never counted. For this initial exhibition of 40 prints, I chose 100 to narrow it down from, and that 100 is narrowed down from several hundred, I'm sure. they're all acceptable. But, mm-hmm. of course, you don't show everything that you ever produce.
Right.
I really haven't counted. I don't know. I'm going to guess and say maybe 300, 350, 400.
do you get like requests, like I'm not necessarily from the general public, but from people who are working on the site who have perhaps seen the pictures you've posted so far? Do they like, well, why didn't you post this one, Hans? Why didn't you get this one?
No, I've never heard that.
No?
No.
No?
No.
I guess the history overload is too much. Any little bit is appreciated.
Oh, it could be that. It could be that. But I don't know what people will be expecting when they start looking at prints.
True.
There's so many different angles to choose from. So many different angles to take, and each one has its own character.
Do you think you got it all, that you've covered it all so far, or do you think that you didn't document it as fully as you could have? And I imagine, you know, with a lot of artists, you never think enough is enough. But for you, taking hundreds of pictures over several weeks and months and going on years now,
mm-hmm, yes.
Have you gotten the full Petrie experience, I guess?
I hope I have. There's always times when I think I should have gone back way back when, and it's gone now.
Right.
And that's the thing that's always in the back of my mind. When I'm finished and the Petrie's finished as far as the remodeling and repurposing is concerned, anything that I saw back in 2015 is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I've documented enough to provide some sort of record for the future. But of course, I know I've missed things.
Mm-hmm.
I've always missed something.
So how do you decide what to shoot then? I mean, I imagine it's not just a matter of trying to get everything, but you do have to pick and choose. You know, there are things that sort of give you a better idea of the old character and the condition of the building than, you know, simply just shooting everything willy-nilly. I mean, there are people I've seen on the tour who it seemed like they were trying to capture every corner.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's probably not practical or possible when you're trying to do a proper documentation of the building.
It depends. You could do that. But then I think you'd buy yourself some trouble in trying to narrow down the things that you want to work on.
Mm.
I've always been careful with what I'm shooting, and that comes from the days of film when you only had so much film in the camera.
That's right.
Now with large capacity memory cards, you can shoot away willy-nilly. But then, like I say, you buy yourself some trouble in post-processing, figuring out what it is that you want to use,
mm-hmm.
and what's not usable.
Right.
So I've taken care in trying to capture what needs to be captured and leaving alone the stuff that may or may not be interesting to somebody, but doesn't really add to the body of work.
Right. You said you've been trying to go a bit more recently. So in terms of the future, how often are you going to be going back? Are you going to be documenting it right until opening day? And what does the future look like for that?
Well, the intent is to go right to the end. How often I'll be going? I'm thinking maybe once every 2 weeks. There are things that change, and like I said before, there are things that don't change a great deal. So.
Mm-hmm.
Those things you pass up. I try to capture the changes as they happen.
Right.
And I try to capture those changes in context of what was there before. And sometimes that's really difficult because some areas in the building are now unrecognizable from what it was before, simply because of the nature of the repurposing and the restructuring. But yes, I do intend to keep going till the end. So that could be still many months from now.
And then what? I mean, have you thought about, like, I don't know, something like a coffee table book of this? Or is that, it, I mean, part of the discussions you've had with, you know, working with the developers that, you know, there may be something collectible at the end of this that could be made available to the public or a show or something?
That's interesting thought, and in fact, we have kicked it around a little bit. My son Jerry and I, we are thinking about it. We haven't finalized the format yet, or the logistics of how to do this, because it's not something either one of us have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're thinking of doing that, and it's for that reason, to make the make it available to the wider public, certainly in Guelph, because I think there's interest in Guelph, probably more in Guelph than there would be in Waterloo, for instance.
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. the building being in Guelph and being so highly visible for decades now.
But from what I understand, there are architecture nerds who come to Guelph to see the build, even in, when it was in its rough shape, that because of the features and what we said, the rare features for a building of that kind in Canada. So you never know. There, you could sell hundreds of copies to...
Yeah, that's a possibility. It's something to look forward to. If nothing else, it'll be an interesting experience to put a book together.
Absolutely. I always have that thought myself, and I never get anywhere with it, but... you are currently selling prints of the 40 pictures you have released so far. Did I mishear that there's a charitable aspect to that? That's also a fundraising effort.
Yes, the prints are on display at the Ashlar Gallery. That's at the Boarding House Arts Building,
mm-hmm.
And they'll be on display until I believe it's June the 11th.
Okay,
and they can be purchased at that location. And prints purchased there, 30% of the proceeds will be donated to the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario, the ACO, to be used as part of their fundraiser to restore the top part of the metal facing on the building.
That's right. I'm glad I did hear that right. But you can also get the prints on your website as well?
Yes, I have posted them on my website. The name of the website... It's a long one, and I always tell people you only need to type it once, and then you can bookmark it.
That's right.
It's GuelphRealEstateFotographer.com. No spaces, no dashes, just all one word.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely easy to remember. In terms of beyond the Petrie and in the future beyond that, documenting something for the heritage value, there are a lot of places in Guelph. I mean, Doors Open as an example of that. That there are a lot of places in Guelph with heritage value. Is this something you could see yourself going forward with in the future? You know, capturing more heritage buildings and capturing buildings before they're renovated and trying to capture that history.
Yeah. Living in Guelph, I've seen a lot of places like that have retained their old character over the decades, and I've many times thought of photographing them from whatever perspective, but I never got around to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this experience with the Petrie Building may have whetted my appetite a little more for that. I know that some of these things will not be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a shame to see them disappear and knowing or not knowing if someone has made a record of that.
Mm-hmm. Because it is something that it's almost like a second thought when you, I guess on any project, a lot of people are so eager to begin it that you don't really think of capturing the experience. And no matter what the project is, whether it's heritage or not, that, maybe there's value in showing how something came to be or something as it once was. And, and as you said earlier, once you're done, the opportunity's gone.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, we certainly appreciate your work in capturing the Petrie Building, Hans. And I know people are all over Guelph are very interested in seeing that building come to life and are probably grateful for you to you for capturing how it was on film and how it's going to be as it continues to be renovated. So thanks for your work there, and thanks for appearing on the podcast this week.
Thank you, Adam.
And once again, that was Hans Zagurius. His pictures of the Petrie Building are currently on display at the Boarding House Gallery at 6 Dublin Street. And while you're there, you can also buy a print of your favorite photograph. You can also see select photographs and order prints from Zagurius' website at Guelph Real Estate Photographer, all one word,
guelph.com. That's guelphrealestatephotographer.com. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can also go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.